guys, welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. I have a special guest with me today. You know her as Lohendry on Twitter, Laura Hendricks. I mean, you should listen to Drunk on Books. So, hey, if you're not listening, you should, because that's where you would know her from. But how are you doing tonight?
I am feeling like a villain.
Good. I mean, that's the best way to be chilling, honestly.
Yeah. Judging after today, I'm definitely chilling like a villain.
Ooh. So we're going to get into that because, as you all know or should know, the Black Panther trailer dropped and it was an extended trailer. And I mean, I guess people are still picking their wigs up off the ground if they found them yet, I guess.
There are no hairlines left in all of Black Twitter.
No, I think we're all bald like the Wadoor Melaje.
Yeah, it's
But before we get into the great stuff, there has been, you know what? There's always a shitstorm going on forever and always, especially all through 2017. And the next thing, or the most recent shitstorm that is still currently going on, is the Harvey Weinstein, just a bunch of a mess. And not to be confused with Harvey Firestein, because Harvey Firestein we do like. Yes. I just recently watched Mrs. Doubtfire again, and Harvey Firestein, American treasure.
That voice, so distinctive. But yeah, there are so many dumpster fires, and you know, you think that the universe has done its business, right? Like, okay, you've crapped on mm-hmm. us, and now you're gonna go back and be okay for a few minutes, and it continuously holds its own beer. Like, you just can't catch your breath because the ain't shitness of the world just keeps evolving. It's, oh my God, it's like, what was the monster in Batman versus Superman that kept absorbing power and becoming more powerful?
I don't even remember. This is actually a significant character. I don't remember, but yes, I want to say thing.
Deadpool, and it's not Deadpool.
He looked like Deadpool.
Oh my God. Now here you got two folks who sit here and we watch enough. Death? Something? No, I don't know. Anyway. But you know what? It's like that. It just keeps absorbing the ancientness and coming out even more ancient than it was before. And I don't understand how. I thought 2016 and all of the deaths was going to be the end of me. But, eesh.
No, and then it's just crazy. So, like, the first time I caught wind of what was going on in with Harvey Weinstein, I just immediately saw, you know, dumpy-looking white guy who's very rich, looks a little sleazy. I'm pretty sure this is some kind of sex scandal. And it definitely is. Or, yeah, that's what it was. And I just wasn't surprised. Should we still be surprised by shit like this coming out?
I am not surprised it happened. I'm surprised it was made public. I believe it's...
You know what? That's an excellent point. Casting, yeah, that part.
It's been a wink wink thing forever. I mean, since Marilyn mm-hmm. Monroe, since God, I don't know how long. But for someone to actually like have receipts and put them out there and basically risk their career, because I mean, you can't tell on folks and then still be a part of the crew. You know, ask Colin Kaepernick.
for real.
He smooth was like, this is what I believe in. And if y'all don't like it, well, they didn't like it. And, you know, I absolutely believe it happened. I'm just shocked that it is out there like it is.
And I just wonder, like, will this trend continue? And I mean that in like a good way, that more and more folks will come out and other people than Harvey Weinstein will get called out, because you have to be pretty damn crazy to think that he is the only perpetrator. Him, Roman Polanski, the list goes on. So, You're right. You have to build. Yeah, definitely. So you have to be crazy to think that those are the only guys. Someone had tweeted something about Bryan Singer, and I was like, oh yeah, I do remember watching that documentary. So, yeah, right. So it's something. So with this happening, of course, a lot of women are coming forward and saying, like, basically Me Too, that this happened to them. And so Rose McGowan, honestly, y'all, I don't know, like, what happened with her, or initially, like, why she ended up getting suspended from Twitter. I feel like she said something, and Twitter being Twitter, suspended her. But all I know is that maybe I'm fucked up saying this, but her face really irked me, and she was my least favorite person on Charmed. So I was just like, I mean, I'm sure she's saying very important things, but I just really didn't give it a lot of attention. And I think that's part and due because I'm just really kind of exhausted by white women.
Yeah, right. You're right. I have no idea how this started. Like, I don't remember. I wasn't giving it a whole lot of attention, I guess. Maybe for the same reason. It's not like her.
No, it's not that I don't care at all. But it's just, one, it's hard to keep up because it's something new every 5 seconds. It's like really, really hard to keep up with all of the shit storms and dumpster fires that are going on. And then everybody that's adding to the dumpster fires, I mean, and rightfully so with the things they need to add to it. But she said she had some stuff. I've seen her on my timeline frequently. And I just honestly just kind of scrolled because I'm like, I'm sure you're saying something important, but I'm just exhausted. And I had a right to be exhausted because, what was it, Sunday? After everybody, well, not everyone, a lot of folks got on their Rose Army little horses and everything to stand up for her after she was suspended by Twitter. And white women left or boycotted Twitter on Friday from being silenced, which is... Okay, y'all, because that's definitely, what is it? Lori, is that every day you wake up?
I mean, I don't know how.
I don't know what it's
like. I don't know what it's like to not, for someone to not try to silence me. So I just kind of let it go. And,
right.
You know, I understood why they did what they did. I also know.
Same.
There are women of color who are personally threatened via Twitter. And, you know, Jamel and Jamila Lemieux and just folks who are out there trying to make things better or trying to shine a light on things, who are then called everything but a child of God and threatened, and, you know, their kids or their families or whatever else threatened. And it means literally nothing. No one stands up for them except other women of color. And in this case, I'm talking specifically Black women, not necessarily, you know, we stand for each other, but that's about it. Like, that's it, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, I haven't watched ESPN since Jamal got suspended. That means I've missed preseason basketball, which I don't appreciate. ESPN, you suck balls. I wasn't watching NFL anyway, because I boycotted the NFL too, but... and I gotta tell you, that's a hardship for me to boycott the NFL. Is a hard ship.
We are sisters in hardship because, I mean, when the NFL season is in, that's all I'm watching on Sunday. I'm not doing anything but watching games. But I have yet to watch a game this year. The only way that I've actually known that anything has happened in the NFL is seeing clips of it on Twitter.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
Single dime of my money. And honestly, there ain't shit on Sundays in the fall.
No. I mean, there isn't.
It's summertime, but come on, y'all. I mean, can I see something other than... I watched 3 Lifetime movies yesterday. Do you understand?
Ooh, girl. See, I understand that at my core. Listen, I've been watching shit on Netflix and Hulu to get through the day. I've been watching Sesame Street. Yeah. I've been sitting up, yes, actually good programming, but I've been sitting up watching Sesame Street on Sundays from the moment that I'm up. We're up and about, and then Sesame Street because of that. So,
just so cute.
Yeah. So,
I watched King Arthur.
I gotta watch that. Folks were telling me, someone said something about that. I gotta watch that.
It, you know what? So, LaValkyrie, my partner in crime on the podcast.
That's who I was talking to.
Was like, y'all need to watch this and get your life. Okay, so, of course, Miss RevD and I get online. We're texting and chatting and watching this utterly ridiculous movie that is really, really funny unintentionally. And intentionally, there are some actually, I mean, there are a couple times you laugh and I think you're supposed to be laughing, but there's a couple of times when you laugh, I don't think you're supposed to be laughing. It's funny. But I mean, these are things that I would never normally do on a Sunday. Like, my life was get up, eat breakfast, piddle around the house, clean something perhaps. But at 1 o'clock, I was in my appointed spot and the TV didn't change from football until it was bedtime. So the NFL has just ruined my life with their hypocrisy and bullshit. And ESPN is keeping me from preseason basketball. I don't appreciate their attitude either. Because she didn't lie. She didn't call anyone out of their names incorrectly. And basically they are punishing her for something. For the first statement she said, not the second statement. And if they think anyone believes otherwise, they're crazy and high on dope and dog food. So, fuck them.
So hopefully TNT don't mess up.
You know what? If TNT screws up, I'm done. I got nothing.
You know what I mean? Because, like, what are we going to do? Because I had no... I guess I'm watching a lot of NBA this year. Like, I watched the NBA, but not like I watch NFL. But because I'm missing the NFL, I said, I'll just watch the NBA. Mm-hmm. But if TNT messes up, which they have Charles Barkley, well, you know, he always says dumb shit. So
I don't blame anybody for the dumb stuff that Charles Barkley said, because he was saying dumb shit since he was in uniform, right? You just can't. He's another one who was one of my favorites when I was a kid. And then they gave a voice to these people, and it's like, oh, can you not say something dumb today? Just give it a go. See if you like it. Don't say anything dumb today. And they're going to fail. They're going to fail. You know they're going to fail. They're going to say something stupid. And, you know, Shaq's going to fall because he falls all the, like, he has not been in that body for the last 40 some odd years. And it's hilarious. And Ernie's doc is going to be trying real hard not to laugh at them and want to say, you
know, he wants to say
he does so bad. Y'all are so ignorant. Some days he just looks at them like, we make the same amount of money. I don't understand how this works. But I mean, you know, but back to the Hollywood thing, you let it happen unchecked. People complained. People talked about it. And I mean, not just women. They shut down men. They shut down children. They shut down old people. Like, you know, women of a certain age in Hollywood, I would imagine, all have a very similar story. Because
For sure.
It was absolutely required of them. You want to get ahead. You don't have the money. You know, the situation really hasn't changed. And honestly, they're taking they kicked him out of the academy and da 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 da. But I mean, there's the list of people who's still in the academy that you know have done some shifty shit or done some illegal shit. Come on, y'all. You got to do better.
You have to do better.
He's not a single entity in this complete dumpster fire of a mess. Hollywood has been about some bullshit for the last couple years. And, I mean, it's always been about some bullshit, but it's been on some public bullshit for the last couple years. You know, you whitewashing and, you know, Hollywood's so white. And I mean, just holy crap. And now, you know, it's Hollywood so sleazy. It's, you know...
As a hashtag coming near you.
Yeah. It will be. You know? And I, you know, it's interesting because how men believe. I saw a tweet today that had me put my head on the desk. How'd that work? But a guy was like, so what? Now, anytime a man talks to a woman or tries to flirt with a woman, it's harassment? Okay. So for everyone listening who has a penis or identifies as a man, either one, if you holler at somebody and they smile but keep on moving, they're not interested. Anything you say after they don't stop to acknowledge your statement is harassment. Period. Point blank.
Is that simple?
End of story. You shot your shot. She blocked it or just pretended like the game wasn't happening. You don't get to keep trying.
No, persistence isn't
necessarily the key here. I mean, we're not talking about some girl giggling and playing hard to get. If she doesn't even acknowledge your presence on this earth, which she has every right to do because nobody owes you attention, you don't get to keep going. That's harassment. And yeah, she's going to call you online or talk to her friends and call you a piece of shit because guess what? You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. Period.
No matter how, I mean, you might think you're a good person. You're just a good piece of shit, basically.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm just a healthy
If you have to shit. Tell someone you're a good person, you're not a good person.
Exactly.
The word good person doesn't really make you a good person. It's the action. So you should be a good person. Just be a good person. Like, don't tell anyone you're a good person. Just be a good person. And
But how many times have you read, well, I'm a good man, and it's just that right there. I mean, that and my queen, all of those, when you start senses off like that, it's just already a lie. Yeah. It's already a lie.
That's like when we call, like when Southern women call you sweetie, that pretty much means they're calling you an idiot. If you start off a sentence with the word my queen, you might as well just say bitch or hoe or something like that, because it comes off the same way. You're not about to say anything helpful to me if that is how the sentence starts. Sorry. That's not how this works.
No. No. It's not how it works. But real quick, back to Ms. McGowan. So after everyone, now let me stop saying everyone, but after some folks probably invited her to the cookout, Sunday morning that she tweeted out, or Saturday night rather, she tweeted out something about, well, imagine if we replace woman with the N-word or some shit like that. And it's just like, huh. So Negro women don't exist. And as always, white feminism shows its lack of intersectionality. That train is never, ever late. So then she got dragged. And then her reply was, you know, note to self, don't smoke a J before tweeting on Saturday nights or some shit like that. I'm just like, sweetie, no. No, 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 no. That's just really what you thought. Yeah. So, once again, that's why I'm happy that when she was originally going down my timeline, I just kind of glanced and kept it moving.
Yeah. People have to understand that I can appreciate what you've done without necessarily mm-hmm. being 100% supportive. Like, I appreciate exactly. you shedding a light on this, given the fact that your acting career might not recover.
Right.
And it wasn't like she was hot on the list to begin with. So, I mean, you're in a place where you're like, well, what do I got to lose? And I don't know what happened that set it off, because I believe she had signed an NDA as part of an agreement, and she was going to, I guess she's going to have to give the money back that he paid her or whatever. But so, yeah, I totally appreciate that part. There's a point where you stop talking. And dear yes. God, if we could teach a class on knowing when to stop talking to all men, yes, all men, because even the good ones talk too much.
You're all like, the time.
If you had just stopped talking 10 words earlier, I would not want to have to smack you upside the back of your head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even the good ones.
No, it's true.
And some of our sistren, as it were, it's like, yeah, I need you to stop talking. Or at least when you say things and you say it in your head, Think twice, maybe. I don't know. See, if it's not in the forefront, it's always in the forefront of our minds because it has to be. Mm-hmm. Because Lord knows you don't want to get dragged by the internet because you said something foul about some woman who, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we are forced to have to think that way. They are just getting to the point where they're being forced to think that way because they do not want to get dragged across the internet. Nobody wants to be dragged across the internet.
No, nobody wants. Do you want to know? I wake up sometimes in the middle of the night scared. Like, wait, did I tweet some shit that I might wake up to in the morning? And next thing I know, I might as well just delete everything. So no, that's very true. But moving forward, just know when to stop. Right. Just know when to just put it down. Walk out on your high horse. Come back. When there's a conversation being had that, you've got the range to have. And then if not, just observe. Say what you got to say and get the fuck out, basically.
Prolonging the 15 minutes only ends bad.
Don't do it.
It always goes bad.
It does. And like I said, that train was just not, it was not late. It was almost comical, actually. But
that you watch by it. It's going to happen. They're going to open mouth and insert foot up to kneecap. And you're like, it was almost on your side. Almost there. Why you are like this? I mean, it's crazy. And, I don't have any kids, but I have nephews. And my older one is 17. And he's adorable. And if he heard me call him adorable, he would be so angry with me right now. Okay. Actually, he's like, auntie. So I'm just all like a grown man now. But he was talking about going to college and being on his own and the girls and da da da. And I said, now look, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that you are going to be real mad at me about. I said, but if you are going to be a hoe, be a hoe. Be a single hoe. Don't be that dude who hoes around, but is constantly stringing some little girl around behind him, because that makes you ain't shit. And we didn't raise you to be ain't shit. We're raising you to be a stand-up hoe. And he looked at me, and he was just like, why every time I come over here, you telling me some craziness? It's stupid of me to think that he's not going to go through his hoe phase. He's a 6'4" light skinned dude with the Odell Beckham haircut. Chances are he's going to go through a hoe phase that would probably make me want to hide in a closet. So I'm not even going there with him. But I don't want him to be that dude. Like, I don't want him to be the one. I want you to be better than that. If you're going to do it, be honest about it. If you want to have a girlfriend, have a girlfriend. But the second you decide that one girlfriend isn't enough and you need more than one, then you need to break up with her and then go live your wholeness. Just do what you got to do. But A, don't bring no babies home, because I will square you up with you and it will not be pretty. And B, don't be that. I just don't want him to be that person. I don't. We've had the conversation about consent and impairment and all that stuff. I need you to be that guy who finds a girl who is impaired and takes her someplace safe. I want you to be that person. Right. I want to be that kind of proud of you. That's the thing that gets you all of the perks in this family. Don't be quiet. No one needs you to be quiet. We need you to speak up. I want you to be better than that. I want you to be better than them. If that's what the quote unquote they are doing, then I want you to be better than them. You need to be better than them. And if it makes you unpopular, screw them. You're not going to know them after college anyway. They don't pay your bills. They can kiss your ass. That goes for it.
No, but all of that.
I have told him I expect so much better of you than what you see on television and you know, I support you no matter what, but that's not okay.
But hopefully, I'm pretty sure though a lot of stuff sunk in and he'll, you know, yeah. But no, that's excellent that you had that conversation, because those are the conversations that need to be had with all, with boys, young men, all of them, so that they do not continue to contribute to rape culture. Because I mean, that's the side that needs the most work. Because unfortunately, we're taught to protect ourselves, and in fact, you know, our potential abusers are not taught to like not abuse, because that's not fucking cool.
I kind of look at rape culture the same way I look at the white supremacy. I don't know that there is an answer for it, because the people who benefit from it aren't going to let it happen. So, you know, the question becomes, well, what do you do? Well, if I know what you do, but I know what you don't do, and, you know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I am with the two, like all of the what you don't do, and let's see what happens when we don't do that shit, like where we hit.
I can't, we're not going to outnumber them. We're not going to, you know, the white supremacy has lasted so long, not because they're smarter than us, or because, not even monetarily speaking, necessarily. If you want my personal opinion, and this is just my personal opinion before anybody sends in tweets or emails or whatever else, because I don't care. I personally believe it's the level of cruelty that they can achieve that we just aren't built for. You know, oh, I don't care. Let's deport 10 million people for no good reason. Okay. Or, poor kids need insurance, but I'm not paying for it. So let's just let it expire. Meh. Let me cancel all the payments so that underprivileged people can have health insurance and not die in their homes. That's a level of cruelty that nobody, that very few cultures cultivate. We just don't cultivate that kind of cruelty. We cultivate one-on-one cruelty. We don't cultivate mass cruelty. Like, that's just not something that we do. And we're never going to do that. That's just not how we are wired. There's a level of cruelty that comes along with that supremacy thing that is just mind-boggling.
I mean, just to kind of speak to that, like, obviously, I mean, it's been going on for such a long time. I mean, it's just like, it's down to the T.
Because supremacy is not a rich thing. Supremacy happens, honestly, you see a lot of it going on the poorer the person is. Like, it's some black person's fault that you are poor. No, that's not how that poverty works, buddy. And I ain't got jack to do with your whatever caused your systemic impoverishment, but I know you take it out on me like it's my fault. And that's a lot of what it is. It has nothing to do with economics, because it does have a lot to do with economics. But in this current economy, or, you know, the way that this works now, the folks who are supporting that mess are not the rich people. No. The grassroots folks who are supporting this current administration, and I use air quotes for that because they haven't actually done anything but try to break stuff that was already functioning, are poor or lower middle class. And so, you know, we talk about the rich people being the enemy, but I got to tell you, they're not looking quite so rich right now. That's not the ones who are marching and doing all this other stuff, trying to put us back in our place, as it were.
No, it's the ones that feel as though they are oppressed. Yeah. Let me so. Oppress. I also used to yeah, which is oppression. Just yeah.
I was like, I got a whip upstairs. I'll show you some oppression. I have a lot of problems with an inch of your life.
I mean, I really used to really enjoy the movie Idiocracy, but I can't even watch it anymore because I'm just like, this is totally the reality that we're living in. So need
to watch that documentary. See, everyone thinks it's a movie. It's a documentary. Yeah. It is where we're going, okay? We are going to be watering our lawns with Gatorade soon. People don't believe me.
in buying time machines at Costco. So switching gears real quick to something that I don't know, it might actually annoy you just as much. It might, honestly. There is going to be a Storm solo comic. So, Lun, let me let you be excited. But, and I don't know, you might still be excited. It's going to be written by Ta-Nehisi Coates and illustrated by Jen Bartol, whose artwork is actually very, very beautiful. So, there's that. Personally, I'm not really excited about it. I mean, nothing about it makes me say, oh my God, countdown, when is this book coming out? Because it's just like, y'all, I mean, just no Black women available in any capacity to write, to illustrate, to do anything. And there have been threads that people have done that are like really, really in depth as to explaining why I'm not all that, you know, interested in it, because it's just the same old thing with Marvel. When wanting to put together a diverse team of creators, it always kind of being like a Black woman character that's given to, which is interesting in itself. Thinking about Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Well, I don't know how diverse the team is for Ironheart or Iron Man or whatever the hell that book is called that's written by Brian Michael Bendis, but yeah, you know what, that is a diverse group as well, because the artist is Latinx, so there we go.
Well, okay, so full disclosure, I'm not a comic book person,
but, oh no, it's okay,
but it's interesting to me that that's the route that they went. Because that was one of the issues I had. So I've always been a Wonder Woman fan. And I was reading the comics, the New 52, I believe it was what it was called. Because it was something I could catch start from the beginning. I didn't have to go back 50 years and try to figure out the storylines, whatever. This was like a new storyline. So I didn't have to navigate to figure out what the hell was going on, because they're weird timelines and stuff. And in the middle, they changed the writer and the artist. It was a couple, but the dude was the writer. And the story just got horrible. It was horrible. It was really bad. And, you know, it's interesting. So I write novels. Although, hilariously, I'm taking a class on graphic novels and writing graphic novels and comic books, because I have an idea for a graphic novel. And but I was talking to another writer on Twitter, and I was saying, you know, she's white, and we were talking about white authors writing people of color in their books. And I said, and to her, I said, you know, there's a difference between having a character that is Black and trying to write the Black experience, right? So I can write a character that is a man. I can write a character that is an Asian woman, and she just be a character, right? What I cannot do is write a story that presupposes I have a depth understanding of the Asian female experience in America or in California or in anywhere, because it's going to be a stereotype every time, because I don't know. So Ta-Nehisi Coates is a brilliant man. And when we come offline, remind me to tell you about him. Not him. I'm sorry. Let me take that back, because that makes it sound like I have like tea about his personal life, and I don't. I just need to. I want to say I can't say online. So, but yeah, the issue that I would have there, or what I would be interested to figure out, is when you talk about her, the character Storm, and her experience, what do you say? Like, I understand totally why he would understand Black Panther's experience, because you're talking about a Black dude, and you're a Black dude, and that makes sense, because Yes, no, we all don't live the same lives, but there are some experiences that are universal, and you can write from that experience. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily convinced that he would be able to do that as for a woman. Maybe he can. We're just being persnickety.
Well, no, and it's just I guess it's just the irritation with Marvel, because it's just like, you know, they seem to do this with a lot of writers that are it for them at the time. So, because, you know, Bendis is on a billion books. Mark Waid at one point was on a billion books. And that's just kind of how they do things. I think they even did that with Matt Fraction at one point. So they just kind of do that. But I am not at all do I think that, you know, the Colts wouldn't be able to write a competent, you know, book. Not at all. Because Black Panther, the current run, even though it has its moments where it's really dry and I have to read pages a couple of times to, like, just, you know, stay in it. Overall, it's solid. It's just interesting to me that, you know, given if they pay attention to social media or just any of the conversations that happen at these panels at Comic Cons and everything, that, you know, there's been a need and people are saying, well, hey, why don't you guys have Black women on this and that? So, like, what else is he going to bring to Storm? You know what I mean? Like, she's been written before, you know, from the mutant experience, which, I mean, that's not a real experience because there aren't mutants, but, you know, that experience, and I guess from what men assume they could write about a woman's experience, but the one thing that's always been lacking for Storm for me is that I just would really be interested to see her experience written through the lens of a Black woman. I just feel like that would add more to more depth to her character, because Storm's got a lot of history and there's a lot of stuff there for her character, but, you know, that just would be interesting. And also, she had a solo book before and it was written by Greg Pak, who isn't even Black and also isn't a woman either. So it's just really interesting that they went that route. I get it money wise. I get why they did, but it's just like, you know,
do better.
You could have had
do better. Just
do better. And I don't think it's asking too much either.
It really never is, but it always seems, they always make it seem like it's this huge lift, and, you know, I don't get it, I guess. I don't really understand why it's such a lift on their part. Like, are you seriously telling me that you can't think of a single Black woman who could come up with a storyline? Because, or, you know, have you thought about opening it up to pitches maybe and say, all right, well, you think you're so hot? Let's work together to build the talent, maybe. Build the talent. You aren't giving them a chance to even throw out a storyline, because that's...
And maybe... No, I was going to say, like, maybe because for The Crew, she was co-written by a woman. And I'm sorry that I'm blanking on the writer's name at the moment, but you could tell that she really didn't know Storm history like that. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't an avid reader of Storm, so there were some things that were missing. So, okay, well, if that didn't work out for you all, or you felt that she wasn't going to, like, really bring it for the book, there are other Black women available. And also, people were being kind of weird. By Black women, I mean, like, Black women, all of them. So, whether that they live on the continent of Africa, they live in Europe, they live in the United States, they live in the, you know, the islands. What I mean, when I say Black women, it means the generalization of just all Black women. Someone was really weird about being specific, and I'm just like, I don't know how fucking specific I can get if you're Black. How did the police see you? Black? Okay, well then there we are.
That's a different topic. So if you ever invite me back, we can have that conversation too.
I mean, I get that people, please understand, I'm not saying that there are just know when someone is saying a a black woman is for anything, I mean, more than likely they're thinking about just all black women.
Called N.K. Jemisin, because her books are amazing. She's an amazing writer. Very good with... I love her
book. Yeah, I just got something on Audible from her.
I have the last of the what's the name of the trilogy? It's gonna come to me eventually. But yeah, I love her books. I love her the stories the way that she tells the story is very visual, which is what kind of how it should be. And then, you know, so if you add a little artwork to it, I would imagine it would just be amazing. And so there's enough out there writing in the science fiction fantasy genre that you can pick from, you know, was it Nnende Okafor?
She's going to be writing a Black Panther webcomic. So it's so weird that, you know what I mean? Like, when that news came out, I was really excited about it. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. But then that came and I was just like, so wait, y'all didn't think she could write?
Yeah.
What are we doing right now?
It's a little bizarre. I sometimes the decisions they make when they do stuff, it's like, I don't know. It's they're always a day late, dollar short. It's like, something will take off and then they'll call, but then the public's appetite for it has passed. And it's like, well, see, that doesn't work. Well, no, if you had done it right the first time, they wouldn't have gotten frustrated about it and moved on. I mean, for all of the stuff that you see Storm in, and I can't say that I've read all of the comics because that's another one where I'm not going back that far to figure out what's going on. There's just so many trees, so many branches of that tree. But she seems like if you're going to do a solo book, she'd be right for an experience, not just a mutant story, but an actual experience. Because she's queen, she's a mutant, mm-hmm. she's a woman, she's all of these things. And if you have a whole solo book and you can't capture that part, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Me either. So we're gonna find out what they actually do with their lives when this comes out. So I mean, because I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wasn't at least the tiniest fraction of, you know, curious to see how this goes. So we'll see. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just kind of like, all right, well, okay,
another mom. Missed opportunity.
So, I'm just another one always. So I guess the opportunity that they have not missed on, and to me, I feel like they're still not really capitalizing to the degree that they can. The Black Panther trailer dropped today. So if you, what a time to drop, yeah, like early in the morning, like 9 a.m. or something ridiculous like that.
And everybody was going on about like posting the link and stuff, and I'm like, oh wait, I can't find my headphones.
And so I woke up on the woman's side of the bed this morning. By that I mean I just woke up and I just wasn't feeling it. It's been raining all day or raining all morning, and I just was just in a really funky mood, and I'm already suffering from superhero fatigue just a lot of it. So when I originally watched the trailer the first time, I'm sorry, I didn't go up like I probably was supposed to go up. I mean, it was really nice and I did see some things to say, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So that was a thing. And then I was like, well, let me drink some water, eat some breakfast, and then come back to this. And then I did. And some things stood out to me, which was Eric Killmonger's appearance, and he is played by Michael, I guess, Bay Jordan, but I guess we'll say that for right now until he says something stupid and then we gotta fucking cancel him. So right. So he looks really good with those dreads, but I had said that he was dressed like a double XL magazine freshman cover for the rappers they usually drop. He looked nice, but that's how he looked. And he had those Gucci Man frames on. So I was like, he probably read that book too. So this is why he wants to take the throne. So And then Eric Killmonger said something, not Eric Killmonger, Everett K. Ross said something stupid about aliens dropping from the sky and that being believable and so on and so forth. But somehow some niggas having technology, that shit was just too far of reach for him and his ass was shook. So I was
I tried to avoid any of the non-good commentary. And I got to tell you, my Twitter feed is cultivated to avoid the bullshit. Because when I tell you that there are some folks on there, and I'm not talking about necessarily non-blacks. I'm talking about just ignorant-ass folks walking around here with their mouths open and bullshit falling out from between their teeth. Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. So shut up and go away. But yeah, he is probably the biggest reason. So I know the movie is called Black Panther, and so at the risk of losing my black card, I don't actually care about Black Panther. I do care about Eric Killmonger's chest. He had nice pecs.
You don't have to lose your black card on that because I feel a way about Black Panther, one that I one day may like go ahead and admit to. But, and we won't get into that right now. But yeah, I'm rooting for Eric. I know it's not going to work out, but I'm actually going to see Black Panther ass. Same thing for Luke Cage. I didn't give a fuck about Luke Cage, but
you know what? I watched a solid 5 episodes of Luke Cage because I was hanging out with a friend. I was at her house and she was all like, "We're going to watch Luke Cage." And I was like, "Yay, where's the liquor?" I proceeded to get shit-faced and she watched it. And finally, I was like, "You know what? I'm too shit-faced. I need to go home." And that's kind of how that went down. Like, and she was like, "Are you going to watch the rest of it when you get back to your room?" Sure. No. I have not even pretended like I was going to watch any more of that. I should.
It went down. It went south.
That's what I heard. So I was like, "Well, wait a minute. If you kill the most popular character in the middle, okay, well, that's great." Plus, every time I saw Theo Rossi, is that his name? I kept thinking about his character on Sons of Anarchy that last season.
Oh, which I need to start.
I'm not judging. You know what? I watch Sons of Anarchy the same way I'm watching Game of Thrones. I watched the first season, realized it was more than I could handle, and watched the very end. And in the end of Sons of Anarchy, Theo Rossi was Marilyn Manson's bitch, and it was just more than I could handle. And so every time I saw him, I mean, yeah, he's an attractive gentleman, but dude, you're a Marilyn Manson's bitch. I can't with you right now. Like, I am incapable of dealing. I need a palate cleanser, and that particular role wasn't it to get me to get that mental image out of my head. So, yeah, nah, bruh. Mm-mm. So, but I had no big plans to see Black Panther. So I've already purchased my Star Wars ticket, right, for The Last Jedi. But that's my fandom, right? So the tickets went on sale. I had to have mine because I need to sit in a certain place in the theater and I need to make sure that I don't have to smack somebody's child in the theater or hit them. You know what? I always get in trouble for throwing peanut M&Ms at people. I buy a peanut M&M specifically to throw at people who are bothering me in movie theaters. Usually there eating my weight in popcorn. So the peanut M&Ms are just, they're a good heft. They'll knock you one good time if I hit you right, if it gets you right. But they don't bruise. They won't leave a mark. Like, you don't know what hit you. It's a peanut M&M. So, but after seeing the trailer, and I'm going to tell you, when the teaser came out, the music hit me more than the teaser, I guess. but I don't know this. I don't have the history with Black Panther. I never read the comic books. I'd never heard of him before Civil War. The Captain America Civil War was the first time I'd even heard of a Black Panther. So.
And there's nothing at all wrong with that. Nothing. Yeah. Not a goddamn thing.
Nothing. Girl, you need to figure out your... No, I don't.
No. You're fine. And you're fine. Like I said, let me put a pin in this before I start saying some shit. So yeah, you're fine. Cause I've been waiting. Cause most of the conversations or in-depth conversations I've had about Black Panther have been confined to the DMs because myself and some of the other folks that kind of feel the way I do, like, it's just like, you post this, it's probably, you're going to be dealing with some shit all day. And I just don't want to. So, no. Yeah.
So here's my,
I mean,
go ahead. Uh-huh. I'll say my biggest fear is that it's going to be, we are so starved for Black entertainment. And I'm talking about Black mm-hmm. entertainment that is not reality TV.
No, I get it.
Super hype stuff up, and then it's mm-hmm. mediocre.
Yeah. Which, in this case, I don't, I mean, I think we might be lucking up on this, and I do say lucking up because sometimes that is, like, the case. Like, Girls Trip was actually very, very, very good. I don't want to say that I was necessarily surprised that it was good, but, I mean, like, I really fucking enjoyed it. And I don't even, I guess it was hyped up. Not like Black Panther is being hyped up, but it was some hype coming with it before it premiered. And, no, with Black Panther, I think we're going to luck up again, and it will actually be, you know, it's a Marvel movie. They're usually, I mean, Age of Ultron, fuck that movie. Also, I'm not the biggest fan of Captain America Civil War.
Don't get me started.
So, yeah, that's that. I was not crazy about that. I've only watched it once, and the second time that I watched it, it was really like a, why am I sitting here right now? Because this is, okay. But I don't think this is going to be the case for, I don't think this is going to be a case for Black Panther. Like, it aesthetically looks pleasing from the trailers. Yeah. And I do have faith in Ryan Coogler that he and all of the talent that he has brought in for this movie are really going to make it come together. But you're right, though. Like, I feel like I have fatigue because it was almost to the point where, like, I mean, if I'm going to talk about Black Panther on my timeline, I'm going to talk about it the way that I want to. And that is just picking, you know, not nitpicking, but just focusing on some other things that, you know, maybe other people aren't talking about, which was the Eric Killmonger looking like the freshman double XL 2017.
It was that jacket with the
fur on it, or the white fur or cotton or whatever on the inside.
Lamb's wool looking from 97. He looked really.
What did Bossup say? What did the Bossup headline say? Poon Sizzler. So, and it was definitely a Poon Sizzler. So, really,
I mean, I felt sizzled, but, you know. And he has enough money to be my sugar daddy. I may be the older one in the relationship, but he's all got the money. And so I'm perfectly comfortable with that. And I did not think that I would be okay with the dreadlocks because...
Oh, they look so good. The more that we get them.
He had them twisted in a funky way. And I was like, I'm going to need him to take that mess out of his head. But I'm glad that it isn't a struggle wig. That is all I have to say. I have not seen a single struggle wig on. I mean, they got Angela Bassett as a blonde. I have not seen struggle wig. And that is very important to me. Because too many Black films are coming out with struggle wigs. It's like, well, where are you putting your money? Because I know you can head down to the right neighborhood, spend $10, and have quality wigs.
Yes, and just buy several of them for each shoot. So, no, you're right, though. What else was a... Oh, he doesn't... Michael B. Jordan does not have an accent in this movie, thank God. He didn't try for one. And I really wonder, did they wait to write the Eric Killmonger, you know, that part based on whether or not he had an accent. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm really curious, though, like, what his story is. Because he doesn't have an accent. So, what is this backstory that they're going to build to kind of make sense of that?
I was
so I'm looking forward to it.
Not everyone can get an accent. And, yeah. So,
yeah.
Sometimes I just need you to be pretty.
Yeah, that's all. I didn't need him to do. I'm happy he is not doing accents. I don't think that would have ended well. No, and I do love that we get Danai Gurira looking fantastic. I do love that. I actually like that they cast Siri so young. Mm-hmm. Because I have thoughts on, because I still don't know what age she is in this Hudlin run / Jonathan Mayberry run that I'm reading currently right now. Mm. I've been trying to, like, I don't know, because she's drawn like a grown-ass woman, so I'm assuming that she's a grown-ass woman. But as comics has taught me, that is not an indicator. No. She could very well be a teenager, so I don't know. So, yeah. So, I'm not really quite sure. And I've been trying to do my Googles on that, but that hasn't really turned up too much of anything. But I do hope that we get a Shuri that is kind of pining after the Black Panther mantle from her brother. Because she feels as though she deserves it as well. I mean, if we don't get that, I'm going to be highly upset. But it'd be kind of cool to see that. So, we'll see. Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get a thin line between love and hate between Nakia and T'Challa, because that does happen in the Christopher Priest run, which people really hold that run up like a Bible. Oh. I mean, yeah. This is why I have not had these conversations about Black Panther on the timeline specifically. So I'll leave it there, but it's interesting. It's written like you would think something would be written by a Black man in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, you just let your, yeah.
See, I already know that it's.
You already know.
Okay, so yeah, it's about some bullshit. Gotcha. I'm with you.
Right. It has some bright spots, but yeah, I mean, yes. I feel like if I would have been reading it at that point in time when I was like only, you know, 10, 11 or whatever, then I would have, you know, been just smiling and reading because I didn't know any better. But reading it now as a grown ass woman, I'm just going,
that's now interesting. That you're woke, it just ruins everything for everything.
I know. I mean, just sometimes, to be honest, I'm just like, I really want to take a nap so I can enjoy this one thing.
I have made a decision in my life that I'm not going to let woke ruin everything for me, because my brain can't handle it. It can't. I can't find.
I get it.
Shittiness in everything anymore. It's tiring. It's tiring.
It's exhausting. It's taxing. No, I mean, I get it. And to be very honest, if you found shit in everything, then you would literally be watching nothing but maybe your own creations. But then somebody would turn around if they got a hands on your own creations and tell you why it's shit. So
yep. I read a thing the other day where calling someone a moron was an ableist slur. And I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, I will be honest, the word crazy, I have actually been trying to make an honest effort to cut down on my use of that. And whatever the context was, you know, just using, because I'm just using it loosely, but just trying to be a little bit more aware of how I use it or as a descriptor of someone. Or whatever, just trying to be a little bit more aware of that, because I one night read a damn thread on Twitter and I was like, you know what, that's a really good point about mental health. So I'll try to be a little bit more. Yeah. Look.
I have thread fatigue
as well.
I don't care, because it's not true. It's not that I don't care. It's just, how many labels can you give yourself before you boxed yourself into a corner and you can't do shit?
I don't know. So that actually brings us to our next thing, real quick. with Jason Momoa. So this also happened last week. It was a lot of shit going on last week. It's a lot of shit going on all the time. So I know you said that you didn't watch it, but it was from 2011, I believe. It was at San Diego Comic-Con. This is when he was still on Game of Thrones, which he was only on for like 2 seasons. Where someone asked him, like, what's the coolest thing about being on Game of Thrones? And then he says, you get to rape women. And it's just like, why the fuck would you say that? That's an excellent question. Even at your most shittiest. But why... Why, you know what I mean? Like, I really sat there after I listened to it. I was just trying to figure out, like, but why? How would you, of all the things for you to fucking say, not that I get to wear paint or that I get to ride on horses and none of that shit, is just to rape women. So that was just like, are you fucking kidding me, bruh? So it was just the sheer stupidity of it. And then the people laughing in the audience just adds to, ding, 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 rape culture. Yeah. So it's just... And so that happened 6 years ago. It was egregious. It was terrible. He shouldn't have fucking said it. And if anybody was triggered by him saying that, they have every single right to be. But I guess my question, and I don't want to necessarily want to answer for it, but just given that what happened, and then every time we get something from some celebrity or just some person, period, where they've said something really horrendous in the past and it hasn't necessarily been a trend with them moving forward, I'm just really interested, like, do we give people space to grow anymore?
We don't.
Or do we accept it if they have grown? I know for a while and I still don't. I remember I used to use Joanne the Scammer gifts and memes a lot because I thought she was funny, and some people that are trans do follow me, and someone pointed out, like, yeah, you know, he's transphobic. And I'm like, I didn't know this. So then I went and did my Googles, and he had said some things that were, like, really fucking questionable and sounded transphobic. And then I read an interview where he was, pretty much apologizing. Then I listened to actual interview that he had with Janet Mock on her podcast about that, and she challenged him on that. So I still don't use them to this day because I'm like, I just don't want to, like, unnecessarily offend anyone. But it's just also, like... I don't know, Lori. It's just, I don't know sometimes.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's really a lot. I'm exhausted. I really am.
It's hard to keep up with, to figure out
who it is.
Who's in, who's out, who's on the cusp, who's... Because here's the thing.
Who we let back? Do we ever let anybody back?
Sometimes. Trying. Yeah. Funny. Oh, yes. And... You know, that isn't saying something stupid doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. It means you're going to get dragged from here to eternity. And maybe rightly so. I don't always agree with the dragging culture either, because I feel like they kind of take it too far. Like, they're constantly looking for a reason to drag somebody as opposed to dragging people who truly need to be dragged. But that's just me. But you also don't give any, like I said, when nobody's perfect, no one's going to say perfect stuff all the time. People are responsible for the things they say, but not for how you interpret them. So now I got to keep up with the laundry list of words that I'm not allowed to say. So that I'm politically correct, or I'm being sensitive to people who aren't me and who are differently abled than I am. And okay, fine. But I don't know. So what he said was stupid, but I've never heard him doing the stupid stuff, like cheating on his wife or abusing his kids or, you know. So he made a really tasteless joke. Does that mean he's written off for life because he made a tasteless joke 6 years ago? I'm not sure I believe that. Maybe that's just because I'm looking at it from a different perspective, but Lord, we are so quick to write folks off and then wonder why we aren't getting what we, well, it's like,
it's no room for error.
Like you said,
it's no room for error
at all.
No, and it's just no room for error, and it's a gift and a curse almost, because you want to hold people accountable for the things they say, because nobody is born with a bell hooks book in their hand or anything, you know what I mean? Like, we all just don't fucking know a lot of stuff sometimes, and so it's just like, so because you don't know until somebody corrects you. There's a lot of shit that I didn't know prior to being on Twitter, reading threads, and just talking to people and just observing and whatnot. So far, I've been fortunate enough to have something that maybe I stupidly might have said never come out of my mouth, because I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, no, that's, you shouldn't. And no, that's, or that's incorrect or whatever. So it's scary. Because, like, where are we headed? Because it's one thing to be able to hold people accountable, but once you hold them accountable, do you give them the chance to take what you've told them and walk away and try to be a better person? And if so, and if they do, or if they are a better person, then are we still throwing something back in their face that they said that one time when they fucked up?
Yeah, I think people who say, you know, I remember when Mark Ruffalo said something that people didn't agree with, and it was like, oh, he's canceled. Dude said something that was marginally stupid.
It was something about mixed children saving the world.
Yeah,
it was,
and I think, it was, and what he's, I don't, and like what he said, and it's as insensitive as it may have been, to folks, which, okay, I understand that, but really? I mean, he is an actual ally. Like, he actually does, his actions actually back up his words, right? You are mm-hmm. never going to find someone who isn't going to say something problematic, because not everyone believes that your problems are theirs, or even knows. I didn't know that calling someone a moron was a slur until recently. I'm not even sure I believe that as it stands, because I don't believe that calling, I had no idea that was a term for anyone other than a person of average intelligence doing dumb stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't know that.
And how would I have known until someone told me? Right. So,
right.
You know, he's talking about his kids, which I believe would classify as mixed, just because I don't think he and his wife are of the same ethnic background. But,
oh, and let me say biracial. I don't know why I just said.
But yeah, so. I mean, I know what you mean, but I mean, but was that really worth all of the, that came at, like, okay, y'all, you're trying too hard.
And honestly, I don't know. Like, I saw that, and I remember thinking to myself, "Well, that's kind of stupid." But all right, it is what it is. So I don't know. It's just, so when that happened or whatever, it just, every time something like that happens, it just brings up, you know, so what do we do from here? Like, where does this go from here? Because I don't think Jason Momoa has been ain't shit since that incident. I'm not sure. I believe he did apologize for it, but it's just kind of like, well, that doesn't matter, because the apology video is not going to be posted along with the thing that you fucked up and you had to apologize for, because it never is. So, and not making excuses for him or anything, but it just always brings that question to me of, you know, do we allow people to grow anymore, or do we just drag them and leave them dragged out on the ground, and then they're just discarded humans after that? Do we ever give anybody the chance to come back? And I'm not talking about fucking Trump or none of that shit like that. I don't know what the hell Pink was talking about. He's 71. He's an idiot. So that's never going to change. But I mean like actual people who, like,
he will be that way for the rest of his life. I'm not saying I'm not calling for his death. I'm saying, when the time comes, he will still be an idiot. Like,
yes. I'm talking about folks where, I mean, we all have an idea of, you know, people who just mean well, but they just say something stupid because they just don't know, or because of the way a culture is set up and is just the norm, and the way that the audience responded in kind to his quote unquote joke. Yeah. I mean, there we have it. So I guess that's just my bigger question. So, and I spent my whole day thinking about that, actually, just that whole entire thing.
That was my day. I know folks say things, one, to get a reaction, and they say things to seem edgy. So the question then becomes, well, what do the actions say? What are the, you know, are the actions backing it up? Are you really ain't shit, or do you just talk a lot of shit? Because there's a difference. Even, and not saying that people who just talk shit ought to get a pass. They shouldn't. They find a different way to be popular. You know, it'll happen for you. I mean, Jason Momoa literally only needs to take his shirt off and have every woman dripping and leaving a trail everywhere they go for the next 45 minutes. All they got to do, he can just sit there and be pretty. You know, you want to be popular with the comic bros, then yeah, you got to have to say some sexist, stupid shit because those dudes ain't getting laid anyway, so they wouldn't know the big deal. But should he be canceled because he made a tasteless joke 6 years ago that he immediately apologized for and realized the error of his ways? You know,
I don't know. Yeah. So that was a thing that happened amongst a bunch of other things. So, I mean, it's just a dumpster fires here and there. So real quick, for something that I think finally is not a fucking dumpster fire, I guess Black Panther trailer wasn't a dumpster fire, but Star Trek Discovery is just way better than I could have expected. Shaniqua Martin Green is amazing as Michael Burnham, and I love that her name is Michael. And I love that she's a Black woman that has been raised by Vulcans. Oh. And it's just, it's really good. Not Lord, I mean, like, it's really good. And just, Star Trek has always been my thing. I think Star Trek got me before Star Wars could. So, yeah. I always feel like that's kind of a thing. But Star Trek got me before Star Wars could. And that's because Star Trek was on when I was over my granny's house and the cable was off. So they used to always have the reruns on one of the channels that I would watch. And I would just end up watching it or whatever. Because one, I couldn't find the remote once. And I was like, well, I guess I'm watching this. So it's just always had my attention since then. So the Star Trek Discovery is everything I've wanted, but I've gotten before in Star Trek, but like more, if that makes sense. So, yeah. And it's just really, really, I just really love the way her character is being written. And I love the way that, Shaniqua is playing this character. Like she's in it. Like this isn't just, oh, they put a Black woman on the poster and she's not really there. She's a side character. No, she's like really there solving problems, doing science shit because they're on a science ship. And it just warms my heart. I just don't know what else to say about it. I just really fucking love this show. And I really don't like stand in real life for a lot of stuff, but I think I'm ready to stand for Star Trek Discovery, or at least Michael Burnham, at least her character. I'm ready to stand.
Well, let me ask you this. When you made the decision, did you make the decision to go to pay for the CBS just for that show? Or are there other stuff on there?
Oh, it is just for that damn show. Because if you read that one tweet I read, I drove all the way back to Target to return the Big Bang Theory. Because it was in a bag that wasn't mine. So, and I really did. I drove. I was like, no, fuck this. I don't want this. I want this in my home. So I drove back and I returned it. And the people looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, look, you walk away with it. That's your business. But I do not want this. This bag was accidentally in my bag. So here you go. Do with it what you will. But yeah, no, I'm unfortunately paying only $5.99 a month. You still do get commercials. I think it's $9.99 for
premium. Oh, they are tripping hard.
They really are, because the first time the commercial showed, I was like, wait, what? Why is this here? So it's definitely commercials, which is irritating, but I'm not paying $10 a month for no commercials. I just can't give them more. I can't give them an extra $4. But I mean, for me, because I budgeted around it, like I got rid of another streaming service I had just so I could have this. I mean, you know, I would feel comfortable enough, you know, paying for it or whatever. It's been worth the $5.99. And I'm pretty frugal in that sense, so that's saying a lot.
I'm not seeing you standing for TV shows like that. I mean, there's some folks who are all about the TV shows, but if for you to say that, it means something because you don't do it very often.
No, and you know, I do watch my Atlanta Housewives and my Love and Hip Hop because I love trash TV. I don't care, but this is the first. Wait, is that Housewives of Atlanta?
I have no idea. I know Black Ink Chicago comes back tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, because I thought they had abruptly ended that, but when I learned it was coming back, I was like, oh.
We're going to have to do an end-of-season wrap-up when they finish their season.
We definitely do. So you will be coming back. And hey, guys, you all are going to hear me talk about reality TV, which I don't really do on here, but we're doing it again.
I don't normally watch that stuff. And I'm talking about it with derision because I want to. But while I was on vacation, I caught a Black Ink Chicago marathon on cable because for some reason that needed to be on cable in St. Lucia. And lost my mind watching the show. It was so crazy. Those people had me in tears. They were so ignorant. Like, some of the stuff they did was ignorant. Some of the stuff they did was really funny. Some of it was kind of sad. And some of it was just ignorant. I hollered because that is not a life I live very often. I can't say that I spend a whole lot of time dooming those things. I mean, I have an tattoo. I have one little one on my wrist. And
I don't even have a tattoo.
There's like two more that I want. One on my foot and another one on my other wrist. But yeah, that show had me in tears. I laughed so hard because
it's so funny. And being from like the Chicago and the Chicagoland area is extra special for me to watch because I'm like, I can pick up on the little shit and I'm just like, yeah, that's real. Like for his girlfriend, very, yeah. So, because I'm like, that's a cousin of mine. So, I mean, she's not my cousin, but I'm saying like that's the behavior. To a T. And I just, all of it, I love it in that way because I'm just like, yeah, that's Chicago.
I was so young when we moved from the inner city that I forget some of that stuff. I mean, I was watching it and yeah, his girlfriend is hilarious to me because she's just all over the place. And then when she starts to cry and you're just like, dog, how are you going to be a raving shrew 20 seconds ago and now you're just sitting here bawling like a 2-year-old? Like, come on.
And just hella emotional. I mean, look, I'm so happy that it's coming back because I really thought that they had left abruptly. And I was like, wait, what the hell? I've been looking forward to this. And then, you know what? Let's save it. Let's save it for the review because I really could go on a tangent. But just back to Star Trek Discovery.
How the segue happened.
Yeah, but just back to Star Trek Discovery, I will say that it is, if you have it and you want to, and I understand if you don't, but it really is worth the $5.99, but it shouldn't be worth it. I mean, you shouldn't have to pay that. I don't know why CBS has this behind a paywall, CBS gonna CBS. The Caucasian Broadcasting Station is gonna do what they're gonna do.
One show with black women on it. Oh, that's
a keep-annoying mom. I know, it's just, and there's like a lot of like I've just been paying attention to like little stuff. Like it's like the ship is like really diverse as it should, like it is in Star Trek. That's nothing new, but like it's sisters on the ship with like locks and, you know, half their head shaven and braids. It's like really dope. Yeah, like I was. paying attention to one episode. I've been watching episodes more than once. So like that is saying a lot for me. So I've been picking up on little stuff and I'm like, oh, well, I didn't see her last time. And the medical offer is this Latino brother who just looks delicious. And he is in a white suit, as medical officers are. And he just looks so good. He just looks so scrumptious. So I can go on all night. And actually, that's actually a really good segue into the last thing that we're going to talk about. And the original thing as to why I was like, hey, Lori, do you want to come on the show? Talk about Sugar Daddies 2018.
Yes. So we are going to make a pitch here for the increase in Sugar Daddies for us in 2018. I need these people to come out of the woodwork, stop tripping, and remember, it's better to give than to receive.
It is, and like real sugar, not Splenda, not any of that cut shit, like real actual sugar.
I'm gonna need some of those little brown rocks that come in the natural paper wrappers. Not talking about heroin, although that would work too. but because here's the thing, on vacation we had a butler and cleaner ladies, and that is my life. I need that to be my life. So I need some supplement. Like, I can afford one or the other. Actually, I probably can afford clean ladies. I can't afford a butler. So I need the supplement. So what I'm going to have to find here is somebody with a couple dollars who understands I'm old and I don't want to. But I need the money. Which I know is not a ringing endorsement, however, comma. Y'all can't do it anyway at this age. Like, shut up. Just work over the dunning. And, you know, it'll be fine. But yes, Sugar Daddies 2018. If you have sugar in abundance, DMs are open.
I mean, put it on your vision board. Put it on your vision board.
Yes, my vision board has an island. It has a series of tiny houses that I'm going to rent out to people as part of my resort package. And it has a picture of The Rock with his gray beard to symbolize the kind of daddy I'm looking for. So I have found that a salt and pepper beard is very becoming on just about everybody. Like, very few people are made less attractive by a salt and pepper beard. I think that's only because my hair is going gray. And so I can't really argue when a man's hair starts going gray. So.
And I mean, if you, and I see, and I really wanted to kind of do this to like kind of, you know, think of some celebrities or whatever that could be really great sugar daddies. But given that, just never know when somebody's going to get canceled, I don't even want to bring up Jeff Goldblum. What? I just hope that we can keep him safe. So
Jeff Goldblum has reached Z-Daddy status. Like, he
could definitely be, he could be a sugar daddy.
And I feel like that would be, because not only is he going to come with the dollars, but he will bring the comedy. And I wholeheartedly support that. I totally support that. I'm trying to think of another one that has. So, I mean, you got some of the younger ones. I mean, we talked about Michael Bay Jordan and he hasn't quite reached sugar daddy status. But, I mean, I can tell he's got the sugar, though. And
also, I need him to, like, just, he would definitely have to be one of those people that just says a few things and then doesn't say anything else for the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he probably has a handful of really great things to say, and then everything after that is, like, really questionable. So say those great things and then don't, you really honestly don't have to say anything else.
For the most part, I don't need any of them to say much.
This is also very true. They could, honestly, Lori, they could just be silent. Don't need a, what you need, because we live in a patriarchal society anyway, right? So, and it's capitalism. So you just need him to fund. your ability to get by in this society that is built against you.
I'm looking, you don't have to worry about entertaining me. You ain't got to worry about nothing. All you have to do is be pretty and be quiet and give me money.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's Sugar Daddy's 2018. So I would encourage you all to just get that on your vision board. Because, I mean, have somebody fun your happiness. What's wrong with that? I'm pretty sure somebody's typing up what's wrong with that. But, sure, I mean, just 2017 is shit. Like, just live. So I guess that's it, Lori.
I'm sad. This has been fun.
It has been fun. And as promised, I said I would. I'm probably not going to be asleep by 11, but I told you I'd get you out of here by 11. So in the meantime, though, can you let everybody know what's going on? I'm hoping to hear very soon when Drunk on Books podcast will be back, because I really want to hear about Gabby's.
Oh, yes. We're recording in a couple days, actually. So it'll be out next week.
I'm so excited.
Yes, we're reading Gabourey Sidibe's biography. And if you have not read it, it is highly recommended.
Oh, on the highest of highs.
She is trouble. In a good way.
No, I mean, this is and the reason why I'm highly recommending this, because that was definitely one of them things I was like, y'all got to cover this book.
And actually, yes, you were the one who recommended this. And I'm not even going to lie. I listened to it on the plane. And I was like, so first of all, she narrates it. And it's not as funny a narration as when Bobby Brown did his book, because that was just amazing. But her tone and inflection, like, she is so valley.
And it's amazing because she grew up in
New York. She's a New Yorker from start to finish. I mean, she lived in Bed-Stuy. So I just expect her to be more Nicki Minaj than Lindsay Lohan. But no, you would be kind of wrong. Because even when she's dead serious about stuff, it's still sort of valid. And it's awesome because I get accused of the same thing all the time. But the book, her book is, I can't compliment it enough. So that's going to be the first book we have when we come back. Then comes Gucci Mane's book.
Well, I can't wait for that either. I'm actually getting ready to start that.
I'm very excited. I actually, I bought that. I have it on my tablet to read. And because if he had narrated that, I was going to download the audiobook. Like, no lie.
No, I was too.
I was ready. My soul was ready. My soul was ready. And then I believe after that, we will be reading T.I. wrote a romance novel.
What?
Yes. And I'm hoping it has.
Wait, no. He did what? Who?
T.I. wrote a romance novel. So now I got to get on the Googles. But T.I. put out a, oh my God, it's 340 pages. Wow. Oh.
Is it called Trouble and Triumph?
Ma'am.
is that the name of the book?
It's called Power and Beauty, a love story of life on the streets. It's written by T.I.
I am, oh my God. I know I'm late. This came out in 2012?
Did it come out in 2012?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, then there must be another one. I thought he had one that came out this year. So this one I'm looking at is, okay, so it has to be another one. But yeah, I feel like this is something that I need to have happen in my life, is to read this romance novel that he wrote and enjoy the, okay, so he has a series. Wow, When I tell you that my life, okay, so there's two. There's power and beauty, and then trouble and triumph. Huh. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing over the next Thanksgiving holiday. But yes, he has written a romance novel, and it is going to be one of the books that we do as we come back, among some other books that we had started on. So hopefully we'll be able to stay on schedule this time and go from there. And life got in the way, as you're probably well aware of. I finally got into a place where we can get back to it with some regularity. So I'm excited about that. We've got the Veils of Snark kicking up again, and we'll be serving all kinds of just rude and lascivious comments on your favorite TV shows as well. So it's going to be an interesting winter. I'm not even going to lie. I think it's going to be fun. I really do.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, I'm really about to go on like a little Twitter spree about this T.I. book, because I didn't know. And it is really taking me down. So I'm actually going to purchase this book Friday and read it, because, oh, I mean, fucking Tip Harris, Lord. Okay. So.
So many big words.
So many. Oh my God. So many.
It's going to be great.
So guys, please check that out. I definitely will be plugging it, because I mean, you just listen to Drunk on Books. Trust me, it for as shit as 2017 is, you deserve to treat yourself. So Lori, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. This was really fun, and this is going to be fun editing, which I thought I was going to do tonight, but I lied to myself. I'll be doing this tomorrow. So y'all will be getting this episode, hopefully, the date will be October 17th, which will be a Tuesday, but if not, then you can just tell me I was lying on my own podcast.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. So until next time, guys, I will talk to you later.